John 19 and the verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plotted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Behold the man. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And so he's just received a scourging, the Roman scourging that I told you about, a very severe scourging. And they have the crown of thorns on him, and they bring him out clothed in the purple robe. And Pilate says, "I find no fault in him. Behold the man." Now, the reason why Pilate did it was he wanted to let Jesus go. And he saw that they weren't willing to let him go. They wanted Barabbas instead. And the Pilate is making one last effort to get Jesus released. And he gives him a great hiding and a great humiliation. And he brings him out in that state. And he says, "Behold the man." And his aim is to get sympathy. His aim is that they'll see that, oh, he's suffered enough. And they'll let him go. But not even the sight of such a humiliation draws forth any compassion. And the cry is still, "Crucify him, crucify him." But Pilate's words are prophetic. And we can look even as them as the words of the Holy Ghost, showing us a picture of Jesus Christ that is very special. He came forth. That's the picture that the Holy Spirit is showing us. Here's the one who came forth. He's wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. He's clothed with humiliation. And the word that is trumpeted as he comes forth is this word, a gospel word: "Behold the man." Behold the man. The words of Pilate, but also the words of the Holy Ghost in the gospel. As Christ comes forth to the suffering of the cross, behold the man. We want to do that tonight, to behold the man. The man. Now, behold, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Behold him. Behold him with assurance, with faith, with confidence that he is the one who is our Savior. We behold him as those who trust him and rest in him. So we behold him with assurance, with faith. We look to him. He's the one our eyes are upon, like the serpent lifted up high. We'll behold him with assurance. He is the one who takes away our sins. We behold him with assurance. We behold him with abasement. Self-abasement. For he is the Savior who bears the sins of the world. And we are humble. He bears our sins. He's there for us. And so there is this self-abasement. It's not just the Roman scourge. It's not just the Roman humiliation. It's not just the crowd that is doing all of this. We know why he's here. Bearing sin. Our sin. And so we behold him with abasement. We also behold him with admiration. We admire him. We behold him with honor and with that wonder that he deserves. He has borne such a scourging, and he is going to the impalement of the cross, and he is faultless and sinless, and yet he does it. So he's admired by us. He has our admiration. And then we behold him also with attachment. We want to stand with this man. We want to be joined to this man. We want to know this man. We want to follow this man. So we behold him with that desire of attachment. We do not say away with him, away with him. No, we say, draw me near to him, nearer to him. So we behold him with attachment. These are the feelings that we should have as we behold the man. But then I want to think about the man himself. And there are so many things here that we could highlight. The man. What kind of man is he? He's the sent man. He came forth. We know why he came forth. He was sent. In the fullness of time, he came forth because he was sent. God so loved the world that he gave his only. He's the sent man. Behold the man who's been sent. Sent from above. Sent for us. He is the sent one. And then as we look upon him here, he's the stained man. The blood flows down his brow from the crown of thorns. The blood sticks. And even though it is a purple robe, the stain is still seen through it. The scourged man. The stained man. The one who is shedding his blood. The one whose blood incessant flows, as we sung, stained not with sin, but stained with blood, his garments stained with blood for our sins, that our stain might go. He is the stained man. He is the sore man, because his pain is terrible. He is wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He bears the crown, a plotted crown. It is sore. The scourging has been sore. So he is suffering. The suffering man. Behold the suffering man. He is the shamed man. Because he comes forth with the mocking emblems of royalty. A crown of thorns and a robe of purple stained with blood sticking to his hanging flesh, the symbols of shame and mockery. He's brought out in humiliation to hear the cry, crucify him, crucify him. He's been stripped, he's been clothed, he's been mishandled, he's been spat upon. He's the spat upon man, the shamed man, the scourged man, the sore man. But he's a sinless man. Even the Roman governor said that. I find no fault in him. He's a sinless man. All of this scourging and all of this suffering is not for his own sin. Why didn't he tell us? This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The sinless man shedding his blood for sinners. And so he's a sinless man. He's a scripture man. Behold the man. This is what the Old Testament has been saying all the time. He's the one who fulfills Scripture. He's the one that the prophets have been pointing to. What has all the prophets ever been saying? All they've ever been saying is, behold the man. And now he's arrived, and now he has come, and now he's going to the cross as the Lamb. He's the Scripture man. He's the one every light of text of Scripture shines on. All the cameras and all the lights, all the spotlights of holy text are all shining on him. Behold the man. This is him. This is him. The Jews can't see it. They're so blind. Doesn't matter how many lights shine on them. Doesn't matter how many texts of Scripture from their Old Testament Scripture shine upon them. They just can't see it because, you see, there's a big thick veil over their eyes, as thick as the veil that was in the temple, and it's over their eyes. And no matter how many lights shine on him, they don't see it. But brethren and sisters, the veil's been taken away from us, and we see it. The light of the Word shines on him. He's the Scripture man. Behold the man. And he's the substitute man. Since by man came death, Adam, by man came the resurrection of the dead, Christ. He's the representative man, the second man, the new man, the second Adam, or the last Adam. He's the substitute man. In our place, condemned he stood. This is the man. This is the man who is the seed of the woman. This is the man who's been promised. This is the man who's come. Behold, this is him. Behold the man. Behold the man. And he's the sacrifice man. And he's the sovereign man. Because, yes, he has a crown of thorns. But the Bible says he's crowned with many crowns. The crown of thorns is just one. And that's the only one of his humiliation. But he's many other crowns. Because he's a sovereign man. He's a man predicted in Psalm 8 who comes and visits, and the whole creation is subject to him. And he heals all the diseases, and he stills the storm, and he dwells with the wild beasts, and he multiplies the loaves. He handles creation like no other man. We see Jesus, the man, the sovereign man, the God man. Behold the man. So you see, poor Pilate, he says these words, and he doesn't really know what he's saying, but they are a call of the Holy Ghost to God's people. Behold the man. So let's behold him. Keep your eyes on him, child of God. Keep your eyes on the Savior. He's the only answer for your sins. He's the only one who'll bring you nigh to God. He's the only one who'll bring you to heaven. He's the only one who'll resurrect you from the dead and give you a glorious body and a new heavens and a new earth. So keep beholding him. Behold the man Christ Jesus.